Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 125 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler. He is Andy Nichols. Andy, my friend, so good to see you. What's going on?
Yeah, it's like I didn't see you an hour
Right.
ago.
We are fresh off of our latest episode of Ranking the Tracks. I think this was volume 20, where we did earlier tonight. So yeah, but it'll be a few days from now when you actually hear this. So,
Yeah, that'll
but
have been up
anyways.
already. And here we are. We kind of came up with a different kind of concept for this week's show.
Yeah, we had a couple things planned, but we had to, adjust and reschedule. And you came up with a pretty cool, fun idea. So I was like, hey, let's give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take, there's been a flurry since 2018. There has been so much McCartney activity. It's been between new albums and the archive box set. It's been astronomical amount of, it's been a fun time to be a Paul fan. And we could all
Absolutely.
we can it really has been. I mean, after getting like an album, one album, and then waiting years and years and years, now we're getting, I mean, obviously the pandemic is why we got McCartney 3, but putting that into perspective and looking at it back on it now, I said to Tom, I said, what if we did a show where we looked at his last two albums, which I mean, most people still are buzzing, I think, from Egypt Station, which is not that old. I mean, it's coming up on 3 years old now, but and now McCartney 3. And what if we took the best of both albums to make one album out of both of them? No bonus tracks, just the straight up albums as they are,
Just
right?
straight up as they are, no bonus tracks. It's
Nope.
just albums proper. So Eagle Station would end at Hunt You Down, Naked, and Sea Link.
Right. So if we took the, you know, we so we said let's call it 12 tracks, 12, 13 tracks total, and put together like an album based off of these two records. And what, do you like, I mean, where do you stand with them all? I mean, McCartney, the honeymoon phase, I think, of McCartney 3 is starting to wane. And where do you people sit with it? I mean, some people I think are still pretty crazy about it. And I mean, me personally, this is kind of how Tom and I talked about this. I texted him last Saturday. I said, you know what? I think Egypt Station is still the is now back ahead of it for me. And then we kind of got talking. I said, well, what if we just did a show where we compared, we took, if you mashed them together and come up with an album. So that's what we're going to do here today with, I mean, I still love McCartney 3. I played it. I played the cassette. I love it. But Egypt Station just gets a little bit of a, just a little bit of a notch ahead still.
That's funny. I'm glad you said that because, when McCartney 3 came out, I was still warming up to it. So I was still, loving Egypt Station a little bit more. But now it's kind of reverse where I'm just liking McCartney 3 just a little bit more than Egypt Station. And I love Egypt Station.
Right. I mean, yeah. So it's we've kind of done this. We flip-flopped a little bit with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's they're great records. My feeling was that Egypt Station was a record that was produced over the course of a period of time, and it was a calculated move, and it was real, a lot of thought went into it. Not that a lot of thought didn't go into this, but this is clearly the result of the pandemic and Paul having fun and using a couple of tunes that were laying around, obviously with when winter comes at the end. But I mean, as in Paul fashion, he still churns out some freaking gems on this, as we know, some classic McCartney gems. So this will be a fun one, choosing which one. It's almost like a this episode is like a cousin of Ranking the Tracks in a way.
It kind of, yeah. We're just taking two albums and we're taking our favorite tracks. And kind of, I kind of went in the direction to where, okay, I think there's a couple of tracks on McCartney 3 that I think would fit well on Egypt Station, or vice versa. There might be a couple tracks on Egypt Station that would fit well on McCartney 3. So tried to make one cohesive unit here, or an
Album.
album, in a style that maybe makes sense to us.
That makes sense to us and would represent like latter day McCartney. If this hadn't happened, what, if you're making a playlist on your phone, and what are you gonna do? What are you gonna take from Egypt Station What are you going to take from McCartney 3? And that's what Tom and I did. And I think we'll see how much we agree and disagree on. And you tell us what you have.
Yeah, exactly. So, please leave in the comments, you know, what songs from each album that you would put on your album. But again, you know, no bonus tracks. Just stick with the albums.
Stick with the main album. But before we dive into the albums, you want to touch on the news today? And the great gig we got?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So we had been in touch with Cherry Red Records. You know, we originally reached out to Cherry Red Records to see if we can, you know, get the interview with Denny Sywell and Fernando Perdomo. And but luckily we contacted Denny before that, so we really didn't need Cherry Red's Records help. However, you know, they got in touch with us and they were emailing us back and forth about, you know, what, you know, our interview and them sharing it. And they said, hey, we got music available. So Andy, you know, you emailed back, and then today, what's today? Today's the Tuesday, the 6th.
Yeah.
And we got to listen to the Ramon file, right?
Yeah. The Sharon, the PR person at Cherry Red, who was just a subsidiary of the overall record company, which I'm forgetting at the name at the moment, but she was great. She sent us an email basically of a press release of this album, a Word document, the publicity photo that we shared on our page of Denny and Fernando.
Right.
And a great bunch of information about that. And then, like Tom said, she said, oh, music's available. So, you know, and Tom and I both pre-ordered it, as we talked about when we did it. You know, we pre-ordered from Cherry Red. So we told, and we were sent an advanced copy. And man, it is, I mean, I listened to it 5 times today. It is, I did. And I'm not one for tribute records. I don't like them. I'd rather hear the original artist. I really don't like it. But this one was put together. This one is on the money. I mean, half of these artists I've never even heard of. But Smile Away, featuring a new musician by the name of Timmy Sean, is that guy. I mean, we talked to him. You know, we messaged him on Twitter today and told him what a great job he did. And
he does that in Monkberry Moon Delight. So he sings two tracks,
two of the harder tracks on the album, and he kills it.
Right.
And he kills it. I mean, the album is so well done. I mean, I can't wait to listen to this tomorrow.
Listen, when I got the email this morning saying you got the tracks, I was just like, you know, I pretty much shot myself, you know. So, you know, after I went to work for a couple hours, I got home and I played it because I didn't want to play it on my phone. You know, I didn't want to hear it from the phone speaker.
How did you play it initially? Just on the computer?
Just on my laptop. Yeah. Right. And I put the headphones on, and man, was I blown away. It's every bit as good as Denny and Fernando promised us.
And then some.
Yeah. I mean, I really can't talk highly enough for this album.
And again, I don't like tribute stuff. And I have to dig through my little archives, but there was like a tribute. There were two McCartney tribute CDs about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Have
you seen those?
Yeah, didn't pay him any mind though.
Indie, like they're indie artists, tributes to McCartney. Right. I bought them, but I listened to them once and shelved them. They're interesting, but they didn't grab you like this album.
This is
balls to the walls production. Yeah. It's a faithful rendering of reimagining of what Ram is. I mean,
it's got all those wonderful layers of vocals and musicianship. I mean, the instrumentation, you know, everything's there for you to enjoy. I mean, especially on headphones. I was just really blown away from them listening to them on headphones.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I mean, the singers, I mean, Denny, you know, when we were talking to Fernando and Denny, Fernando said Denny picked every single vocal before he had the final say. And I think he did a stellar job, you know, picking these vocals. I mean, all of them are top notch.
There's even some really cool parts on this record, and you'll listen to it with repeated listenings, Tom, that actually where there was a guitar solo, it's actually the vocals are actually taking, they're actually on this version, the singers will actually reproduce the guitar sound with the vocal. I mean, that's really like just very super creative and artistically brilliant to do that. I mean, you got Connie Wilson doing backing vocals on Long Haired Lady. So
yeah,
I mean,
great.
You know, and I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of many of these musicians, really. And as we heard when we interviewed Denny, I mean, we had people on there as young as 10 years old. Yeah. And as always, some of the original players on the album, Spinoza, obviously, Denny, and one of the horn players.
Yeah, Stam, I think it was.
Yeah, Marvin Stam, right. Yeah. So it is, I mean, I think it was May 14th it drops. I mean, I guess from somebody who doesn't like tribute records, I was totally blown away by this, and I'm going to get so much enjoyment out of listening to this record.
Absolutely.
Tom will too, I know. So.
Yes, like you said, Andy, I mean, we've been in contact with Timmy Shawn, who did vocals for two tracks, and we're going to have him on in a later episode to talk about his experience working on this album. So looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, if you're at all interested, if you love Ram, I think you'll really appreciate what they did here. I mean, it's faithful, like you said, Annie. They take a little bit of liberties. They kind of make it their own a little bit, but it's not to where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
No,
you know what I mean?
No way.
No, yeah, really mind blowing stuff, and
very challenging vocal. I mean, you know, the average singer isn't coming off the street into the studio and belting Hunkberry Moon Delight. It's not happening. You know, you can't. These are very complicated, very high range vocal singing songs, and you know, to find kudos to Denny and Fernando to the talent scout to say, you know what? Then Denny's like, you know what? I know this music in the back of my hand, and
exactly.
I'm not going to just bring in just a star just because they want to. They got to be able to sing this, and they did their homework and they got the right people to sing this music. Boy, I mean, I listened to it 5 times today, 4 times at work, and 1 time when I got home.
I'll definitely be listening to it more in the future. Can't wait to get the CD in the mail.
Yeah.
And thank you, Sharon.
Absolutely. For that as well.
Yeah, so May 14th, Cherry Red Records. Please buy and support this record, and you won't regret it.
It's also on Amazon too, I saw. It is on Amazon.
Did you?
As well.
Is it okay? It is on Amazon now.
So you could buy it domestically from Amazon. Great. I think it's about $20.
Okay.
Domestically on Amazon, as opposed to, it's 10 or 11 pounds.
Pounds, right? Yeah.
So with the shipping and the difference, it's probably a wash. So, you know, if you want to, if you can support the label directly and buy and support them, otherwise if you can't, just buy it from Amazon.
Yeah, or just you know, give Bezos another billion.
Or that too. So yeah, but Ram on the 50th, May 14th, coming your way. Get it.
Excellent. Yeah. Wow. Good stuff. So let's get to this topic tonight. I was having a lot of fun with this last night, going, okay, do I want this? How would I kind of see? Because I did kind of sync with it a little bit. I didn't give it too much thought, but I just thought, okay, well, this one I think would sound, you know, good after this, because I don't maybe like where it was sequenced, you know, on the album.
Right, I'm going to lie. I'm going to cheat and sequence it now. So just keep going. Because I have my iTunes playlist up. I'm going to work on a little bit of a sequence. So go ahead, brother. Take it away.
Well, okay. Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you my first two tracks here. You know, obviously I think Longtail Winter Bird works great. I love it as an opening track more than I like. You know, I like it better than I like what he did with the Aether Station, where you got the openings, you know, when you got what I mean? So that I really didn't, opening station, I really didn't care for that much, to be honest with you. I thought it was okay.
Okay.
You know, but it was a good sound effect. You know, obviously it fits the title of the album, but I think Longtail Winter Bird is an excellent open track. And I really think that Come On To Me would be a great follow-up to that song. I think it just, you know, continues the power of Longtail Winter Bird, and just comes, continues the up-temponess of Longtail Winter Bird. So, I mean, that's how I see it.
Okay. So for the opening of the album. Okay. So for the opening of the album, I went with Opening Station because I really love Opening Station, and then of course I went with I Don't Know, which is probably one of my favorite McCartney songs in the last 10 years, last 20 years, really, since Driving Rain. I love kind of that opening station of the, hearing the car door slam and hearing the train. I love all that. It's a perfect mood setter. I don't love Long Wintered Bird. I don't like that. That didn't even make my list.
Wow. Interesting.
That didn't even make my I didn't even pick that song. So I went with the opening station into I Don't Know as to open up this album.
Right. So you don't mind I Don't Know because, you know, obviously you weren't you. I mean, I don't know if we talked about this before, but do you like I Don't Know opening the album, or would you have preferred maybe Come On To Me or something?
No,
like that?
I love Odo. I love how I Don't Know opens the album.
Really?
Because opening station to me, opening station flows right into I Don't Know.
Okay.
I mean, it's a perfect opener. You hear, you know, it's kind of very kind of
somber,
somber music. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is different. And then you get the Come On To Me. If it had opened with Come On To Me, I don't think I would have liked this album as nearly as much.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
No way. Okay. So I think that's one of the better openings of his albums because it's a theme. There's a theme here. There's a little bit of a loose theme. So I enjoy that as an opening to an album. Very atypical, not a traditional like George Martin, Beatles, Paul, come out of the gate with a real, you know, like a typical track. You know, it's a little more somber.
Right.
Kind of like a little bit like the song we were singing a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we're like Fine Line. It's not like Fine Line or Dance Tonight with songs that open up an album, you know, or Save Us from New. That just it's those are songs that kind of get it right out of the gate. This one doesn't do that.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I was kind of surprised because I like it when he starts like, you know, bold like that. With
I
like
do a, too, with but like a change. But this is different. And,
right.
You know, so all right. So that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So then I go into, track three would be Find My Way. Find My Way, I think is a track that I think would fit on Egypt Station. I think it has a little bit of that production, you know, the feel production wise, like Egypt Station does. So, I think it would fit perfectly. And, so I'm kind of like, in a way, I'm almost kind of like making my own perfect Egypt Station. Right
you
now.
Are. And I'll tell you what, we're in sync there, partner. Cause I have Find My Way 3.
Right.
As well.
Cool. Nice. Nice. And,
it's almost like that. It's taking the place of Come On To Me a little bit. Is that pop of your number?
Yes. Hear ya. Hear ya. Then we, with track four, then we slow it down a little bit. And then I got Happy With You, which is a track that I'm love, you know, right off the bat. I think it's great. Well, you probably got it there too, right?
Yep. We didn't talk. We haven't really talked since I've been on the show. We haven't really talked a lot about Egypt Station.
No, because it was still David at the time when
Haven't really talked in depth about Egypt Station.
Right.
Obviously Flaming Pie, the archive stuff we have, but this we really haven't.
Well, maybe we should when on the third anniversary of the album, maybe we'll do a show.
I mean, we're going to rank it.
But, yeah,
but you
that's
know,
true.
We're going to rank it, but I would like to do a proper show on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have it fourth. I have it fourth as well, too. Happy With You.
Right.
I love that that whole, you know, throw a pocket full of coins into the treasure fountain.
Yeah, tree fountain. Yep.
I love it.
Been there, done that.
You've been there, man?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool. What? Mm-hmm. You threw the coins in?
We threw coins in, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
But that was one of those first tracks. I think probably when you heard it, I
oh, you know, instant class. You knew that was an instant McCartney classic when you first listened.
Yeah, you knew it, right? So
yep.
We're on the same page there. So that's cool. So all right. So what did you have fifth?
Fifth, then we picked it up a little bit, and then we went to Lavatory Lil. Which is another track that I love a lot of these up-tempo songs between the two albums. I think Lavatory Lil could have fit nicely on Egypt Station, and lyrically I think it's good, and it just rocks, and it doesn't necessarily have that, in my opinion, that solo feel where it's just Paul. It kind of does feel like a band feel to it, in my opinion.
Lavatory Lil.
Yeah.
Okay. I went for five. I went with Who Cares.
Oh, yeah, good.
I went
another
with
great one.
Yeah. Because this, now here's what we always talk about, especially when we talk about our ranking show, how we don't really pay attention to lyrically, but we like how it sounds musically.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where I actually really genuinely like the lyrical content better than the music.
Right.
Because the message is so important, because it's it stands up against bullying and basically tells people, you know what? You know what? Screw all these bullies. You know what? There's somebody out there looking out for you.
Right.
So I think that message is so important. Again, musically, it's not anything, in, you know, but it's like, who cares what the idiots say? You know, right. I care. You know,
yeah, and exactly.
To me, that's an important message in 2021. And I like that's why I included it.
Yep.
Musically, it's nothing great, but it's just a great message. You know, who cares about you? I do.
Exactly.
Which is why I like it. So, yeah, that was if I was five. What do you got six?
Number six is, you know, I know a track that not a lot of people liked off of Egypt Station, but I absolutely adore it, and that's Fuh You. You know, it's been one of my – and I can't wait to see where I'm going to rank this when we get to Egypt Station.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think it'll be number one at all or anything like that, but I can't wait to
better
see.
Better not be.
You know, yeah, how high it is. But again, here's a song that you know, didn't I liked, but I liked it even more once I saw the video, because, you know, when I first met my wife, on the way home, I walked home that night and I was singing, you know, just like the guy does in the video.
In the video,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it just had this, it just clicked with me because of that video. And then then that's when I fell in love with it. You know,
and you connected with it on that level.
Exactly, on that level. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, musically, I think it's fun. You know, I think it's just a fun McCartney track in the same way that Silly Love Songs is a fun McCartney track.
Agreed. Mm. Agreed. Sixth, I went with Pretty Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And again, figuring out tempo placing where you're placing these tracks, you know, I have a fast song, a heavy song,
right.
Ballad, Pretty Boys, you know, the whistling. It, I mean, I hope you have this on your list too. Maybe you will, I don't know, but I think it's a great song. Again, this one is more musically. This one's just great, you know,
right?
The you know. The whistling through it, you know, and I guess there's a little keyboards in it.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, you know, that's, I don't really understand the lyrics in it, you know, I don't.
But I like his vocal approach to it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the whole, you know, bicycles, you know.
For hire, working for a squire. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know. I mean, that's fine. I mean, every once in a while he gets in that, you know, rhyming rut that we sometimes talk about, but sometimes it works, and, you know, and I think in this instance, it kind of works, you know?
Yeah. So I thought Pretty Boys was definitely worthy of being on a mix
mashup.
Of this joint. Yep.
Oh, cool. Cool. Seven for me. Then I go with The Kiss of Venus. You know, again, I think his falsetto was really strong on this track, and his guitar playing was really good, and you know, I liked lyrically, I like it, and I think it would work on an album kind of like what we're doing here. But yeah, I think it's a good track. I mean, you need every once in a while, you need those, like, you know, those 2.5-3 minute songs, you know, in between. Somewhere placed in those albums
to break it up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons why I liked McCartney 3 a lot, was because you had a lot of those quick, you know, 2.5 to 3.5 minute songs, you know, not all of them were these, you know, 6 to 10 minute epics, you know.
No, which would broke it up.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. Seven, I went with Confidant, which, you know, again, I know was a big highlight of that record for a lot of people.
Right.
Talking about his guitar. I also, when I was thinking about like placing these, even just a few minutes ago, I always try to think about how would I close side one? How would I open up side two?
Right.
You know, and I like to think that this might be one that closes side one, because it's the seventh song.
Right.
Because it sets up like how I would open up side two of this record. So
okay.
Confidant is a nice closer, you know, you know, the whole long lost anthems. Again, I guess he's, I think he's talking about his guitar, right?
Right.
In this song, is he? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
So again, this was just a classic from Egypt Station, you know.
Yeah.
Great guitar work in it throughout the whole thing. Mm. Again, one of those you knew right away this was going to be a highlight of the record.
Yeah.
But Confidence, my seventh.
Great. Eighth for me. You know, I would like to think that you talked about, you know, opening a side, opening a, or, you know, flipping it over in the opening track. I mean, I love how Who Cares opens, you know, with the feedback, you know, and it's very, you know,
yeah,
kind of Jimmy-ish or Terry Kath-ish, you know, in a way, you know, wow, to open it. Yeah, and great, you know, and like you said, you know, the lyrics are powerful. They're moving. They're what we need, you know, now in that, like you said, the age of the internet bullying. And, you know, good stuff. I think I can look at it in the same way as like a Somebody Who Cares.
Because of those kind of,
you know, there's always somebody out there that, you know, that cares about, they'll, you know, help you out or care about you.
Right. And see, that's one thing that Paul has always been, you know, that known for and kind of, I guess, criticized for is that he's too mushy and stuff, but
right.
You know, the guy wears his heart on his sleeve. So what? You know, he's spreading good messages in his music. And again, what's wrong with that? I'd like to know.
Exactly.
All right. So if we were to flip flip this album over now, my eighth song would be the grand opening of Sliding. I think that would be awesome.
Right.
Side two, boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Sliding is one of those songs. When I heard McCartney 3, I said, man. This now, it's not really a solo song, as we found out.
That's right.
They're on it. The band is on this. But, I mean, doon, 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 doon. Boom, right into it. How I try. Sliding is the definite highlight of McCartney 3. Latter-day McCartney, say, you know, for the last 20 years of his career, I think Sliding definitely ranks up there as a great track, you know. Don't know, but those, yeah, Grease, oh. Sliding, such an awesome song. I'm sliding, you know. Yes. Oh, so
I can see my body through windows of my hair. You know, it's very, very acid, you know, acid rock, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think I can fly. Yeah. So
yeah.
Good. So, yeah, I think that would be a perfect side two, flip it over opening track of the second side. So number eight is Sliding.
Well, that's how the cassette opens, is Sliding. So.
Oh, see, I might have forgotten. That's why. Okay.
Well, my nine track after Who Cares is Sliding. This is an absolute track that I love. I love that, you know, they had to hush up that Rusty interview.
Don't say nothing.
Shh. Yeah, exactly.
Quiet, Rusty. Yeah, Rusty.
Right, kind of spilled the beans on that one a little bit, but you can tell that's a band. You know, there's times where you can tell that Paul's just doing the song himself.
That ain't one of them.
No, that is not one of them. And I think it's a great performance from the band. You know, Abe and Rusty, Paul, you know, on there. And I've always thought that this was one of his better rockers in the last 20 years. And
I think it's the sound he was going for on that.
Right.
What was that Nirvana song that he did?
Oh yeah. Coming some slack. Yeah.
I think this is what he was going for, but this is better than that.
No. And it definitely has like a Foo Fighters kind of feel to it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It does a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So Sliding was your ninth track. Okay. Yep. Track nine for me is now we're going to dial it. We want Sliding, big, powerful, heavy song.
Right.
Now we're going to dial it back with Dominoes, which I'm sure is on your list. I just don't know where it's going to be yet. Dominoes. Dominoes might be the best song on Egypt Station. Hands down. I think it has to be. You know, nice guitar opens up, you know, in time we'll see. You know, opens up, nice, great vocal from McCartney. It's all a show.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a blast, you know. So verse, and then boom, right to that great chorus. And like the dominoes are falling.
Yep.
And again, he's singing it, and you can imagine it. Like, you can imagine the dominoes falling when he's singing,
right?
Because his phrasing of the vocals lends itself to that imagery. And like the dominoes are falling,
yep.
He did that. He's the reason he did that. You know, he could have just said, "And like the dominoes are falling." He didn't do. He said it that way to convey literally falling, and that's because that's why he's a pro and he's the man, so he can do that. Right. The drums kick in. We can start to begin.
Yep, living in. Yep.
So I mean, and I know our friend Dylan Seavey loves dominoes.
Yep.
I know when we had him on, he talked about that too. So
yep.
If you're doing a best of or compilation of three and Egyptation, if dominoes is not on your list,
yes,
you need your head examined.
Yeah. Yep. 11.
Just kidding. So, just kidding.
Yeah. So where are we at? 10 for
this
me?
Would be your 10th. Yep.
Yeah, my 10. Then that's where I'm going to have Confidant. You know, again, it's another great acoustic track from Paul. You know, it's you said it already. I mean, it's just, you know, lyrically it's really good. And yeah, and he's writes it in a way where it could be about a person as well, not necessarily
an
his
object.
Guitar.
right
exactly. Yeah, so but yeah, I mean, a great lyrics to it, great chorus, and you know, the verses are nice too, but I think this was definitely one of the standout tracks for me when I first listened to Egyptation. I got, you know, when Egyptation came out, I got to listen to it. I, because it was you know, when if you ordered on Amazon, you got the file right away, the digital version, version
right away. Right.
So at midnight Eastern time, I got it at 9 p.m.
Oh, because of the time difference.
Yes, because of the time difference. So it was 9 o'clock in my time, Arizona time, and I was
amped up and ready to go.
Oh, I was amped up, ready to go.
Because people over here by the East Coast are already sleeping.
They're already sleeping. Right.
You're like, oh, the album just dropped, and it's like it's Friday night or whenever it was on 9 o'clock, and it drops, and you're like, let's go.
Yep. Done. Let's go. Exactly.
Did you listen to the whole thing straight through?
Oh, straight through. Yeah. But I kind of skipped, I don't know, Come On to Me, because they were,
and you'd known them already.
I already known them already. Yeah.
Those, exactly. those two songs came out in June.
Yeah. Months before. Yeah.
And the album dropped in September. So you had already known those. So
exactly. Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's a big, great regret. And I don't think I've told you this before. I actually won tickets to the Grand Central Station show. I entered in some random thing. Remember, there was a contest you could email McCartney.com, and it was on a Friday when I was at work. I was at school, and at 3 o'clock, I got this really cryptic email saying, "Go here, this thing." And I remember I sent it to like all my friends and family. I'm like, I think I won. I'm like, right. But I don't know if it's real or not. Long story short, I couldn't go anyway because I had a football game that I had to watch. And I ended up calling, and it was legit. I could have went. I was selected to go to the Grand Central Terminal show, and I didn't go.
Confessions with Andy Nichols.
That's a big regret. Now listen, I've seen McCartney 10 times. I've seen him up close. So it's not like I hadn't seen him before. And
right.
I just, it came in the day of the show at 3 o'clock, report to this thing. And I'm like, is this real? Is this fake? Is this bogus? But it was real. And I didn't go. So that's my, when I think about Egyptation, that's what I think is when I see that concert, I'm like, but
because then they air that on YouTube.
Yes,
I think they're live.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
so that's a regret, but that's my Egyptation memory. But
wow.
True.
So, crazy story. Hell yeah. Yeah, I would definitely regret that as well.
I don't think I told you that either.
No. Holy shit.
Yeah. That was bad. That was a bad one there, Andy. But you know, listen, life happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you? So you did your 9th song or 10th? What did you?
10. So I'm at 11 right now.
So I got to do my 10th. Right,
yeah.
So my 10th is going to be again. We went Dominoes was quiet. 9th, 10th is going to be a little more spunky. I went with Seize the Day.
Oh, okay.
which is a favorite of off of this album for me. I love Seize the Day. I'm not sure if you do, but I love Seize the Day. It builds up, you know, and then it goes boom when the cold way comes. Right. Love that. And I really, really love the end of Seize the Day because it builds up into this nice big crescendo, you know, seize the day, day. And then a nice little guitar riff takes us right out. And again, message, Seize the Day, Carpe Diem. These are awesome themes, right?
It feels like it's the do it now, you know, for Radio Station.
That's a great analogy.
So
that's a great analogy. Yeah. Okay, so you're 11th.
My 11. Then we go with Dominoes. You know, for all the reasons you said, I think it is the best song on Egypt Station, and I had said that right off the bat. That was the very first episode of Talk More Talk. excuse me, where we reviewed Egypt Station, and I'm pretty sure I believe I said that Dominoes was my favorite song on the album that night, and it still is.
It still
hold to this day. Lyrically, I think it's definitely, I think, is one of his better lyrical songs of the last 20 years. You know, all the things you said about it, the lyrics, you know, like the dominoes are falling. I mean, the chorus I think is great, and then you know, begging us to come out and play. You know, all that stuff is
and
good.
All the telephones keep calling.
Yeah. Constantly imploring us to come out and play, you know, I mean, good stuff.
Really good songwriting.
Right, exactly. And it's just not that basic, you know, your basic love song from Paul. That's, you know, what am I to do if I don't have you? You know, we're just rhyming everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, no, this is a great stellar track that deserves a lot of attention and a lot of respect and should be considered high up in the McCartney song catalog.
We'd love to see somebody do a cover of this song one day.
Oh, absolutely. And I would hope that this would be included in the McCartney lyrics book that's coming out soon.
That would be nice. That would be nice for sure. So that was your, what, a 12, 11?
11, yeah. Okay, so that's kind of like my epic, you know, kind of.
That's your big epic. Epic piece for the album.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay, so my 11. Touching on a theme Tom just talked about, because these two songs kind of go hand in hand, although it's not that song either, is Do It Now.
Nice.
You like that wordplay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seize the Day. I picked those because they both are both the same kind of thing.
Right.
Seize the Day, Do It Now. And I always love Do It Now.
Right.
Prolonged thing, you know, and I've had some people don't really care for it. I like it. It's a drawn out thing that builds up, you know, Do It Now. And you hear the vocals, you hear the chorus jumping on that. Do It Now, Do It Now. So I've always loved, I've loved Do It Now from the minute that Egypt Station came out. It was a highlight for me. It was of that, you know, Happy With You, Do It Now.
Right.
That's a go-to track, you know.
So yeah, kind of like the, again with the James McCartney thing, you know, like the put it there, you know, kind of thing. You know, his father would say, you know, hey, do it now, you know.
Right. Oh, right, right. And it builds. It slowly builds up. That last 30 seconds, you hear it. It's really, really drawn. It starts out quiet, you know, and then towards the end, if you leave it too late, and it just builds up into this nice big thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about that song.
Cool.
And it's, again, Do It Now.
Yeah.
Well, your vision is clear. It's a great, again, universal messages. We like those.
I like that. It's a nice 1-2 punch, kind of like in the same way of like maybe a tug of war and Pipes of Peace, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, very similar theme. So that's my 11.
Wow. All right, well, I end up, you know, cheating a little bit too, where you gotta, you close out the album. I love the way McCartney 3 closes with Winter Bird and When Winter Comes. I think When Winter Comes is, you know, again, just this great lost gem that was, we talk about this, you know, with ranking the tracks, you know, with the non-album tracks, you know, with something like Kicked Around No More, I Love This House, or just tracks that just get forgotten about. And you know, in the canon, I think this is, you know, when Winter Comes, I think it's just was a gem that I think people are going to appreciate.
This isn't your last, is it?
Yeah, this is how my album ends. Yeah.
So this is 11 or 12?
Well, it is 12 because, yeah, we're on 12 right now, I thought.
All right, so I cheated. I have 13 with.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Because I have three more songs.
Yeah, you have. Well, I can always add another song. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. But I think 12 tracks. You know, not including like an opening station or anything like that.
Oh, right.
I think that just works for me. I think once you get into that, you know, 15, 16, 17, sometimes it works. Like London Town, you know, had a lot of tracks on it.
14 tracks, but Egypt Station.
Right. Egypt Station again, that had, you know, not including the station one or station two and opening, that's, you're looking at, you know, 15.
So if you're not, you're counting 16 because Hunt You Down, Naked Ceiling ends the album proper, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's 16. That's a pretty heavy album.
It is
by itself.
Right. Right.
Right. Okay. So it's longer than McCartney 3, obviously. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
but myself, you know, now that we're that back in the age of vinyl again, you always got to think of, okay, now we got to have, you know, make sure that we have enough time on the vinyl. We got to make sure it matches the CDs so you don't get like a third vinyl or a second vinyl for a third side.
Right, you know, right.
And then you, next thing you know, you got 2-3 tracks per side.
which happens. If
yeah, exactly.
You know, are artists back making albums based on what vinyl records can hold or what CDs can hold? And I think it might be shifting back to vinyl. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it is a norm now, especially with the archive sets with Paul. I mean, you're looking at these archive sets, the bonus disc, you know, matches what the vinyl is. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Because you could fit so much more stuff on that CD, as we all know.
Correct.
You know. So, but no, it's got to have the exact same stuff on the vinyl that it does on the CD. You know.
Yeah. All right. So if I have you can throw one. My 12th would be 11th or 12th. Let me see something here.
Yeah, I just did 12. Yeah.
12, 13. Yeah. So my 12th would be The Kiss of Venus, which is a great track. Falsetto didn't do it for me. When I first heard this song, it was really cringy to me. But then, to me, like when that harpsichord kicks in, I'm transported back to Revolver days.
Right
away when you hear that harpsichord kick in. And again, it's McCartney melodic at his best, Kiss of Venus. And Tom spoke, you know, eloquently about why it should be included, and I agree with him 1,000%. Great track from McCartney as well. So that's my 12th. I'll just round it out to just to be done with it. I'm going to go after that. I'm going to go Deep, Deep Feeling as the epic.
Yeah.
Big piece.
Right.
Again, a song that I really wasn't really big onto. I'm still not totally there with it, but I'm growing to like it. Your cousin, the former co-host, David, he kind of turned me on to this one, saying it kind of grows on you. And it has.
That's been the main consensus on this track, that it's been a grower, that's a grower.
And it is. And it's, you just got to keep it on. And it's, again, it kind of gets you into a trance a little bit, you know.
Right.
Something's got to, you know, it grows on you. And I like that being, if I'm sequencing the album, that's my big one. And then I'm going to close it out with, you know, When Winter Comes, just like you would. Yeah,
exactly. So go ahead.
No, that's it. That's how I would close out this mashup.
Hmm. Yeah. And if I were to add a 13th track, I probably would have Hand in Hand.
You would put Hand. So you would go another track from Egypt Station.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So we tried.
Because, you know, to be honest with you, it's like the tracks that I love on Egypt Station, I love more than the tracks that I love on McCartney 3. You know what I mean? However, with McCartney 3, I like to love every track on it as to where Egypt Station. People want peace. I don't want that song. I can't stand that song. You know what I mean?
Caesar Rock.
Yeah. Caesar Rock, I do enjoy. You know, because it's just a fun rocker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know. Despite your repeated warnings, you're not keen on that one either. And honestly, I know it gets a lot of praise, but Hunt You Down, Naked Sea Link, I like.
I think I like all of it. I like the guitar playing on C-Link. You know, I've always said that McCartney is a very underrated guitar player.
Very much so. Yeah. So yeah, when an album has 16 tracks as opposed to the 10 or 11, right. it's the odds are is that there's going to be a couple here going, hey, some of these are, you know, are not as good. And I'm not saying that everything's on here, but you know, you take two albums and put them together and come up with what you want to come up with. I mean, I like doing it because now I can say, okay, give me a playlist of what I like off of both of these.
Right.
And you just go with it. If you're not in the mood to listen to the whole album of this or this, you just take the best of it. And I think for the most part, you and I had just about all the same songs from each station, right? No,
because I didn't have like Do It Now. You had
I Don't Know.
And I Don't Know. Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah. Well, we had the key ones.
Exactly.
And you
exactly.
didn't have, what did you didn't have?
I didn't have Pretty Boys like you did.
Did you have Seize the Day?
No, I didn't have that either. So, okay. Yeah.
Different.
Yeah. Which is good.
Different is always good. Yeah. So, yeah, this was just a kind of a spur of the moment idea that I had had. And Tom said, run with it. Let's do it as a show because our scheduling kind of got a little wonky. We're trying to plan the rest of our shows out. And we wanted to do a quick one that now that the dust has settled on McCartney 3 and as time goes on, how is it going to be compared to Egypt Station? Are you going to be like more like like Tom?
Yeah. Yeah. And and it's really cool because I've seen both parties. I've seen a lot of people say they still like Egypt Station better. And I've seen, you know, a bunch of people saying they like McCartney 3 better. So, I don't think anybody's right or anybody's wrong with it. I mean, obviously, it just depends on your taste. But I think if you take, you know, the songs people that you love best from McCartney 3 and best from Egypt Station, I think it would make for a really good album.
Heck of a great album.
Yeah,
a great album and a killer. And again, you can make a playlist and go go for a walk, go for a drive, and you can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's coming.
Yeah,
coming. That's coming, baby.
Yeah, we are be ranking Driving Rain real soon.
This is my right. Where's that going to get ranked?
Oh man! Don't give it away.
No. But this was fun, partner.
Great. It was a good idea. This is fun. I like fun shows like this where you can just pick your songs and put it on one album. You know, it works for me.
Yeah. So let us know, people out there in TV land. Right. How would you sequence Egypt Station and McCartney 3? You know.
Yeah.
And which albums do you prefer overall? 4 months out now from release.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing is, I'm kind of glad that McCartney 3 didn't follow the same pattern as Egypt Station. Obviously, because, he didn't really have like sessions, I guess, from like McCartney 3, like he did for Egypt Station in a way where, you got like 20, 25 songs that he records. So like on, New Year's Eve.
And we're getting
we got to get enough. And then,
mention a month before that, we had In a Hurry at Home Tonight. I mean,
right.
the bonus material from that. The end of 18 into 19, it was like ridiculous. Right. More stuff.
It was the gift that kept on giving.
Like, oh, here's two more songs, another song. Right.
But for McCartney 3, it was the vinyl that kept coming.
that was another gift that kept on giving.
Right.
And giving and still giving.
Yes. And here we are buying and buying and buying.
And now you have the reimagined one, which my co-host is, he snapped that up.
I put my foot down and I still to this day have only ordered the splatter.
Okay.
Yep. Not going to do it. Not going to fall for that trap.
Not going to do it.
Exactly.
Not
going to do it. But anyways, thank you, Andy, for a good for a good suggestion tonight. Good fun little show. So, what else is going on in your world, Andy?
Not much. We're just we are rapidly approaching the end of our Ranking the Track series, and a lot of people have asked us, "What are we going to do after that?" We are going to probably take a pause after we finish the main canon, but we will come back and We are going to do rankings of some sort. We are going to rank the albums too.
Yes. And that will probably end up being like a three-parter, you know, do so many for part one, so many for part two. And then,
yep, we're going to rank the albums, obviously. And I think we're going to probably talk about compilations at some point too. But the live thing, you know, we're going to continue it, you know, as far as we can, and we're planning on it. So we're not going to stop, and that's helping us grow the channel and,
right,
you know, growing our brand. So, you know, thank you out there for everybody who's helping us. And it's, you know, our show kind of took off in 2020 because of the pandemic, and now we're just here with it. Here we are a year later, and we're going to just keep on rocking and rolling as best we can, as long as we have our health and everything
else. Yep. So thank you, Andy, for all the technical stuff that you do as well. excuse me, put together the website. Don't forget to check out our website, twolegspodcast.com. That's where you'll find a lot of our shows that can direct you to our YouTube channel. We can also, you'll see all of our Twitter feed as well there. Any other news, usually we'll go there as well. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You know, we get a lot of great feedback. Please leave a comment on the YouTube shows. If you're watching the Ranking the Tracks, please leave your rankings on there. We love to see these rankings. Andy, you were talking about that earlier tonight when we were doing the Ranking the Tracks, where, you know, we get to see all of these people's, you know, all their rankings and how different they are from the next person. And I think that's one of the cool things. You know, you tell somebody to make a McCartney compilation, I don't think you'll see two people make the same list ever.
Very, very rare. Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. So everybody out there, thank you very much for checking us out. If you're new, thank you for showing up. We've had a lot of great guests in the past, and we're going to continue to have great guests in the future. And you know, we look forward to your comments. And so please continue to join us. And Andy, good to see you as always. And
you
everybody
too, brother.
Out there,
yep.
Everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan C.